Let us move forward in our dissertation this morning. Take out your document. More importantly, your Bible. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. This morning, there are some more nuggets we need to pull out of there. Beginning at verse 8, Elder Liverman is our designated reader. In your document, which I hope everyone here has, and we welcome those that are joining us by way of the webcast. There's a link in both the audio and video sector, volume 2, everybody repeat after me, Scriptural distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
For manifestation in time. If you will click on the icon there from volume 2, this document comes up in its entirety. Let's go to page 4 this morning. Before we begin to read, I want to reprise some of these definitions in our glossary of definitions. The top there, of course we're going to be talking about it a little bit this morning.
Right.
Manifestation. Everybody said manifestation.
Manifestation.
That's the outward perceptible indication of revelation or materialization. How a thing outwardly is revealed and expressed. Next word is nascent. Everybody said nascent. That's coming or having recently come into existence, which that applies to absolutely nothing. Everything already is. Everybody say everything already is.
Everything already is.
We're on page 4 in our definitions right now. Hopefully everyone has a copy here as well as those that are listening and watching. The next word is parameter. Everybody say parameter. That's the limit. Restrictions of boundaries. A boundary of a theme. The next word is relativity. Everybody say relativity.
Relativity.
That's how an entity relates or aligns with a separate or remote non-related entity. How things tie in together and what is the catalyst? What is that which causes the action? And then the last one today, sagacious. Everybody says sagacious.
Sagacious.
That's, in this case, as it is applied here, the eternal perspective of wisdom. So we're looking at things from eternity, not from time. We're never looking at time as time. Always viewing time from eternity. Elder, read that fifth verse, verses 8, down through 13. I think time won't allow us to go any further today.
Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning with the 8th verse.
Everybody got that, amen? All right.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth,
mm-hmm.
proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret.
Mm-hmm.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light.
Oh my God.
For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Mm-hmm. One more verse.
14. Verse 14. Mm-hmm. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Now, as we look at this passage here, Paul is doing some teaching, and yes, he's dealing with some aspects of morality here, or immorality, but he is basically focusing on the essence of what is and what isn't as it relates to God. Here, for the next several outings as we move through this, we're going to be dealing with relativism, how thing relates, how one thing is as it is in association with another. That begins with who we are. We are who we are in relationship to who God is. Huh? So to define us, you have to look at God and define us relative to God. In Christ. We are in Christ. And we are members of his body. We are body members. We are not individual, amen, distinctions of ourselves. No body member. None of your body members have a name. I hope you have named them. As it is, everything relates and focuses and operates and functioning from the head. Mm-hmm. It's a World Series right now. The batter gets up to the plate and he knocks a home run out of the park. Now he has used his muscles, his biceps, he has used his hands, his arms, and his eyes, and amen, just every part of his body. But as he circles the base, where's the focus? On the head. On the head. On the head. I don't. Not a one of you I can look down and see your feet. Oh, that's brother so and so, because those are his feet. No, where? Huh? Recognize the head. Mm-hmm. The head.
Amen.
Need to get that. The head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only one recognizable entity, mm-hmm, as it relates to who we are, and that is Christ. That's Christ. Oh my God. Help us to understand these things, and as we go through life, amen, we recognize that our lives are not within ourselves. It's in him. Now we're going to read this passage or portions of it from the Greek Interlinear, and those that are not familiar with our mode of ministering, amen, he has read from the King James, and now he will read from the Greek Interlinear. And don't worry if you don't have one. Just follow along in your the script, in most cases, at least similar. Mm-hmm. Amen. But we pick up the actual Greek script in here, and preparer of this document, the Interlinear, does not have the option of veering off the track without some type of notation to say, hey, I'm prefacing this, amen, I'm paraphrasing this, whatever, amen. His feet are held closer to the script.
Right.
And this is why, and then we don't stop there. We don't stop there. We exegesis the scriptures. And so everything is in operations of the exegesis. So that we first of all come out with the correct utterance.
Right.
before we go into any explication. Wrong utterance, what?
Wrong explanation.
Explanation. You know? You're way off if it's saying one thing and you are quoting something else. Now when you get ready to explain, you're going to explain what you quoted. And if it's not what's there, then you have not done service to that verse. All right.
Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the 8th verse in the interlinear Greek text. For ye were then darkness.
Stop. See that Greek word, skotos. We dealt with that a little bit in the Wednesday evening Bible study. Amen. That as we, oh my God, hallelujah. And there's a paper that the scientists wrote, and they used the tracer of the atom collider that they spent billions of dollars in Switzerland, and they're trying to trace through to find out what is nothing. And you know what they came up with? We don't know. Here it is right here. The Greek words as it is outlaid here before us, skrotos, as it is translated here, darkness, to understand what that is in relationship to God, you look at what emanates out of God, light. So darkness is the opposite of what emanates from God. It is the opposite of light. That's what darkness is. Now, by being opposite, it is the opposer. So whatever opposes God is darkness. And that can be in the form of ignorance, rebellion. And of course, in many cases, that is used to identify the sinful acts of mankind. So it is the opposer. The chief practitioner of that is Lucifer, or Satan, however you want to identify him, who was created by God. So all opposition was created to show God's glory. In Romans, it gives enlightenment of what is expressed in Exodus in God having raised up Pharaoh. Lord said, I raised him up. I put him in power to show my power. Because his power must come from me. And the one term that we used earlier from our glossary of definitions is parameter. Everybody said parameter. Limit, restriction, and boundaries. Amen. But there are no limits, restrictions, boundaries on the power of God. And there is no limit, a restriction, a boundaries on the light God emits. In John it says, oh my God, hallelujah, the light shined forth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't apprehend it. Light comes in, darkness has to go. So when we say something and nothing, something has to do with existence. Nothing has to do with what has been brought into view for the purpose of magnifying God's power, and it's not going to stick around. All I God that opposed him, all darkness has to flee, has to go. That's how we get the terminology death. The Greek word thanatos simply means separation, to be separated. And all darkness eternally is already separated from God.
Already.
So everything that is not in alignment with him is nothing. Because it has been separated or isolated from he who is the creator of something which is all aligned relative to who he is. Colossians 1:16. And all things were created what?
In
him. What? Through him. What? For him. Those are the boundaries of everything that is created. In him, through him, for him. Oh, we got to get a handle on what life really is. Because we seem to have illusions of things revolving around us. Things according to us. And nothing is according to anyone outside of God.
I hear you. I hear you. Amen.
So nothing is the opposite of something, and something is always in relativism to the one who has brought something into being or existence, and that's God. And so what is nothing? That to which basically opposes God. And it doesn't stick around. In fact, it's already separated in eternity. Oh, give God a praise. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Let's focus back on our scripture there out of the interlineal. So you were then darkness, ignorant of nothing, evil, or whatever, you can place it all there in the same bag. Read.
For ye were then darkness, but now light.
Everybody say light.
Light.
Photos. Now I know many of the translations have God dwelling in light. How can he dwell in that which he is? Of which comes from him. Which he created. In essence, light comes out of God. So he is not dwelling in or subject to that which emanates from him. He is the single source of light. Read.
For ye were then darkness, but now light in Lord, as children of light, walk ye.
Walk. Now hear what he is saying is, as he moves to giving them some basis for conduct, he doesn't say here, hey, if you don't do right, God's going to get you. That's what I used to hear when I was growing up. And of course, as I read in the Old Testament, as you could read, that's what God told Israel. Did it stop him?
No.
Depravity doesn't operate that way.
I hear you.
Amen. It's through knowledge. Now the grace way is through teaching, and yeah, it takes a lot of time, and it's slow. It's slow. Anybody in a hurry, you're not going to have too much in common with grace of God. As far as the doctrine is concerned. You know, we in this age of instant everything. But grace is not instant because it is not sequenced. Grace is distinct to the point of it origination being in eternity. Grace was here before we got here. In fact, that's what God used to get us here.
I hear you. I hear you.
Grace means no merit. Everybody said no merit.
No merit.
And so it's all about what God has outlaid for us. All right, read.
Verse 9. For the fruit of the light in all goodness.
For the fruit.
And righteousness. And truth.
For the fruit of the light. that's right. Exactly what it is there. Here, you got photos. You got Oga Kapos tongue photos. Therese is not there. King James, they inserted that. Mm-hmm. Okay? The fruit of the light. In what?
In all goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And righteousness and truth.
Mm-hmm. That's the expression of God. God attributes and characteristics. What he is.
Yes.
And nothing in darkness and evil is the opposite of that. So if you want to know what darkness is or nothing is, it's the opposite of God. Outside of God, that thing is nothing. And so he uses this to encourage them even in their manner of life. That everything we do, even how we live, is in relativism to God. Not ourselves. Here's what we've got to come to.
Glory.
Turn your eyes away from yourself. Turn your priority away from yourself.
I hear you.
God is first. Everybody say God is first. Oh my God, we got to come to understand that. It's all about him.
It's all
on a prioritized basis about him. Paul writes, "Fornication, my life is about Christ. Christ is my life." Hmm? To live is about him, and to die in physical death, that's gain. Now that seems so out of kilter with what many of the ministers are teaching.
Right. Oh, how
right. The focus is on the individual. Right. Your dream. Your goal. Your destiny. And God is like an accommodator there to help you reach it. Instead of him being the essence of your life, he's sort of like a co-partner in helping you to get something, to do something, to realize something. That's crazy. And more important than that, it's unscriptural. Oh, God. Read.
Verse 10. Proven what is well pleasing to the Lord.
See? Well pleasing to who?
The Lord.
Well pleasing to who?
The Lord.
What should we be seeking? To please ourselves?
No.
Or please the Lord?
The Lord?
And you know what? If you're a member of the body of Christ, if it pleases Christ, you know, what pleases my head and my mind should please my hands. Because my hand has no agenda of its own. My hand functions at the pleasure of my head, my brain. Oh, we got to get this thing straight. That's why we all messed up. We want God to fall in line
right.
with us.
Right. I hear you.
No, you got that cart trying to pull the horses.
Amen.
We are to relate to Him.
Yes.
That's where it is. Read.
Verse 11, and do not have fellowship with the works of unfruitful of darkness, but rather even reprove.
Okay, so nothing doesn't have anything in common with something. Something is God, what God is. Nothing is what anything that opposes God is. That Greek word there to translate fellowship there in this case, it means to have things in common.
All common. Thank
you. Nothing is in common. Does knowledge have anything in common with ignorance? They're opposers. Light with darkness, good with evil. No fellowship, nothing in common. And the latter in each litany has been a sign separation in eternality.
Right. Yes, right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Which really makes it nothing.
Yes, for sure.
All right, read.
Verse 12, the for hidden things being done by them, shameful it is even to speak.
Okay, because it's reproved by the light and not acceptable. That is the actual essence of why and how. It has no basis, amen, and it's not acceptable, and the light comes, and when the light comes, what happens to the darkness? All right, so it's done in the dark because, amen, it can't stand light. The light reproves it or condemns it. Everything in eternality that's not like God has been separated and condemned. There are no battles in the heavens in Christ. There are no fights going on. And a lot of teachers, the devil is coming, he's doing this and that. We had to pray that God would come and so forth and something.
Oh,
remember. Pray hard. Oh, the devil's raging. Can you imagine God scuffing with the devil? He's already defeated.
He's already.
Every opposal
Every.
Is already defeated.
Mm-hmm.
So our focus as members of His body is on Him. What He is. What He is about. And when we look to life, we look to Him. His life.
Yeah.
So to know what's going on, amen, our eyes are fixed on the Lord. All right, verse 13, and I guess we won't get to 14 today. That clock always beat me up. You know.
Verse 13, again, into the Greek. But all things been reproved by the light is manifested.
So, manifestations is composed of light. Everything that is exposed and everything, follow me here, that is revealed is by light. Follow me here, follow me. By light. Everybody say light. Now, as we look at this document, scripture distinctions, that is what the scripture distinguishes, what the scripture shows is the difference between actualization in eternity, where everything actually resides.
Glory.
That's why nothing is really nothing. Because it is isolated and it is separated from eternality. Think about that a minute. There are no conflicts in eternality. Opposition? So when I need word about, you know, how basically has been explained by some theologians in relation to the earth in its original form. Some said it was perfect, and that Adam was perfect. Even though God put some provisions of keeping Adam away from certain things, that's not necessary in eternality. Plus, there were some rules and restrictions, as well as some consequences for disobedience. If Adam's nature was ever perfect, that wouldn't have been necessary. And if you don't understand this, then what God has done for us, and the fact of us being complete, fulfilled in His righteousness and His perfection, get to eternity, Eden could happen all over again if we didn't do something we were supposed to do. Adam was innocent from the standpoint of lack of knowledge, but he wasn't perfect. Now, what God has done is that everything that exists through His Word. One saying, God having spoken it in eternity. What we have, the record in time, which is a created entity, a many manifestation sequence from one thing. And we must understand that. For all of the ages, Hebrews 1 and 2, he's got things laid out. And also Hebrews 11 and 3, according to a saying. One saying. What is creation? What is life? It's the essence of God and all that He has said. In one saying.
Thank God.
only way a thing exists.
I hear you.
And what you see are in many instances, as we view life, a matrix, a field of representations that has many frames in it, and each frame, amen, there are depictions broken down into sequences of what God is saying. This knowledge allows us to look down on life instead of around in life. It's almost like we think that God is just down here with us and, you know, he's just as vulnerable as we are. Maybe he's more powerful, but he certainly doesn't have control. Things happen, and yeah, God can fix it, but he had nothing to do with it showing up. Yeah, but Jesus can fix it. But then the students asked the clergy that came on the campus after that mass shooting at Virginia Tech, he said, where was God? Why did he stop this? I don't blame God. He had nothing to do with this. This country that was founded upon the forefathers and the purity of the Puritans and righteousness and goodness, we have left that, and God's just fed up with us. And when you look back in history, you don't see any righteousness. I mean, you can go all the way back to Adam, no righteousness. All between, no righteousness. Because the only righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. Outside of Christ, there's no righteousness. Some know this thing didn't happen because we did something, and we got to get out of that. Oh my God. If God did tit for tat with us, none of us would be sitting here this morning.
I hear you.
No, in God's master plan of his glory, the things that we encounter are placed there for a reason. I was explaining this to someone last night. I said, listen, whatever is going down is according to purpose.
Amen.
God's purpose, not yours.
Not yours.
If some incident is in some frame of the trillions upon trillions of frames that represent sequences in the matrix, is you get to a frame, something is there, it's because God has use for it. Didn't that just happen? Things don't just happen. Don't, oh my God. It's like we think that God is somewhere sitting down and said, and something happens, and we go, woo, and God goes, oh.
Informed. That's right.
A leaf doesn't fall in the forest from a tree, and if no man sees it, it doesn't matter. God has use for it.
Fly
doesn't wiggle his left wing unless God has ordered it. Even though it doesn't make sense to us, God had use for it. So everything that's there was placed there for purpose.
Amen.
For God's purpose.
Amen.
So we, as everything else, as the old saying used to be, you can't do that with the phone booth now, but we operate, that's the old saying, on God's dime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
According to his pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul expressed that to those Athenians on Mars here, and I, he said, in him we live, we move, we are. Oh, give us a praise. Hey. Oh, hallelujah. So what is all this about? This is all about us becoming informed to the place that we focus on God. And then everything that we're doing is relative to God. I'm not saying don't go out and you got your families, you got this dude, the young people, you know, trying to get education, trying to, you know, do it, but God is the center. That thing is no good without God. It's counterfeit. It's wrong. Life is about Christ. Oh my God, that clock is beating up. Let's go to page, those that are watching and listening. Let's go to page 6 in our document. Go down to the second paragraph. And see, this is what makes the so-called brilliant scientists so reluctant to honor God or acknowledge God, because in acknowledging Him, I'm really defacing myself.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And the scientists will say, this is where the why this happens. And so, okay, then that's the reason for that. And you get on down and at the point, he has to say, I don't know. Because he's not going to say God. But that's the only authentic answer. Where it says definitively, the second paragraph. Everyone has that amen. Definitively, creatures devoid of the existence of, much less their belief in deity, that is in God, they misconstrue their lives in them rather than God's principle and purpose. In their perspectives, it is more plausible to extend time's significances at their heartily required valuations that begin and end in individuals. You see why we all messed up? In this reasoning, existence is focused first and foremost in individuals. Oh, God help us. Get off of that train. Get off of that bus. All things outside of such, including God, merely suggest several possible paths. This is our thinking that could perhaps develop, yet ultimately depend upon humans' determinative choices. Now we got a very, very rocky situation, because here we are flying a 747 jet and haven't had not one first lesson in it. I'm just using it as an analogy. You piloted the ship of life. That is downright scary. Conversely, God, as the sole source of existence, isn't simply relevant, but He is most important, or imminent, or ultra important to how, where, what, and when in life certainties of functioning necessities. Imminent means, actually, you say imminent are His imminence. You're saying that nothing can function without Him. That's why anybody put that towel on a man and say, that is so ignorant. His imminency. No. You're talking about God. Follow this. Hence, debating God's sole sourcing of every aspect of existence is tantamount to assigning substances communally in a committee. You know, we talk that we're partnering with God. God does His part, we do our part. You know, and we handcuff God because we won't do what we're supposed to do. The idea of a partnership is that each one who is a part of it has something to contribute. What do we have to contribute? it's all of him. Hence, debating God's sourcing again in every aspect of existence is tantamount to assigning substances communally in a committee. Impactful. All existence is of particular consequence from foreranged design. Everybody say foreranged design. Listen, if God has decreed it, it must happen. If God has not decreed it, if he has not said it, it can't show up. It can't happen. And that's the only way a thing happens. That's the only way it can happen. Actualization, eternity. Manifestation, time. God help us to understand that.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to get through the rest of these two paragraph reading because we've explained some of these things. I'm going to run just a little over this morning. Not much, but just a little over. God's eternal ordering in the heavens, in Christ, Ephesians 1 and 3, exceeds and excels beyond time's debates of human proficiencies whose appearances are in defiance to more affirmative scripture responses to the offered uninformed inquiries. Why don't you believe in God? Why care about any gods in the first place? Therefore, and this is scientism, amen. And yes, I'm going to say this openly, amen. Mr. Stephen Hawking is a very frustrated, that's not the physicist, very frustrated. You say something, and then what is exposed is something else. That doesn't happen with God. Now you got to make some adjustment. God is not an adjusting God. He's an adjust. Oh my God! He's never had to adjust anything. We've just read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, and of course I'm going to read through the 17th. I knew we weren't going to get a chance to do all of that today. Here quoting, "And all things reproved by light are manifested, for everything that is manifested is light." That's the only way God shows the record of what is. The only thing that's in the matrix is light. This podium is light. I get some blank looks. Of the essence of God is all things come into being through him saying it. Now to manifest it or show it, he has to move to where we are in time, in physicality, because where he is eternally in spirituality. So the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has to leave. And here in the matrix, the light is energy. And the energy then goes to mass through processes, of course. And this is why they were able to split the atom and form the bomb. What happened is that it went from mass to what? Uranium and plutonium, and you split those atoms, and you have what you call nuclear fusion, which means it transfers from mass to energy. Because there are only two things in physicality in the universe, that's mass and energy. But where did the energy come from? One word. God. Light. All right, we finish this. Whereby he said, arouse yourself who are sleeping and arise. I know I'm going to come back this next week. Rise out of the dead and Christ shall shine upon you. See then how exactly you walk, not as unwise. He said, you know, let's get with it to know what's going on. But as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, because of this, become not fools, but understanding what? What the will of the Lord is. That's what life is about. And this is why God directed us into two books. First one, don't be afraid of God's will, and the second one, God's will works what?
For us,
not against us. That doesn't seem that way because what you're doing is you're operating in the venue of time. You're operating in the matrix. And everything in time in the matrix is going to dissipate, so that's not where anything dwells anyway. But everything that is for you is in eternity. And in that. Pastor, you're crazy. What about now? What you understand about eternity will control how you feel, how you think, how you act now. Last paragraph at the bottom of 6. Destiny. Everybody said destiny. I hear that word so much, ministries. People sitting up, you know, because I got plans and I got an agenda, and whatever my plan, my agenda, that's my destiny. And God's supposed to help me reach it.
Yeah.
All we have are imagined itineraries.
Yeah, imagine.
I hear you. I hear you.
There's only one agenda. I mean, I could think of so many things in my life. I thought I was going left and went right. I thought I was moving in this direction and that direction. I was looking for one thing in God. This is what I'm saying. When you pray, before you close that prayer, Lord, your will is done.
Amen.
How many times I thought that something was working against me and was working for me? That's just in the spiritual sense. And sometimes in the natural sense too. If God opens the door, no man can close it. And if that door is closed, don't you get a sledgehammer trying to knock it down. That means that God's will is not for you to walk through that door. And if he doesn't want you to walk through that door, well, I put it in myself. If he doesn't want me to walk through that door, I don't want to walk through that door either. Destiny. Destiny of providence. As defined by us, is what we see. But true destiny isn't projected, not deposited in existence by human choice. Your destiny is what God has already decreed and already exists concerning you. You just haven't seen it yet. That's your destiny. This truism is positioned entirely within indwelling faith as to the sole evidence of who and why God's immanence matters beyond challenges to his sole dominance of life contents and manifest occurrences, even whether he exists. God matters in total dependence upon his characterized intentions. This initially sounds brash to the idea of something existing when such exhibits no human input in life. That's how the scientism thinks. What's our role? Your role is a component that you have no control over of God's intention, his design, his plan. And I know what they're going to do. They're going to come after this and say, we're not robots appealing to your pride and your ego. We're not robots. What is a creature?
A created thing.
You say create, you're talking about design, right?
Right. Amen. Amen.
Can the creature operate independently of the Creator? Otherwise, God has created something He can't control. And everybody here, we know He gave the devil more power than we have, but the devil, he has his limits. He has his parameters. He can only do what has been decreed for him to do. Let me put it bluntly. He's only do what he has been designed to do. And he's already banished eternally. Separate. Which is really the real death. That's when God's existence is necessarily important, ultra important, or imminent to the scripture principle and purpose of life. Now, we have spent some time here this morning, possibly an hour, and we have engaged the congregation, and all we've talked about is God. We haven't talked about the situation in Syria, Iraq, have we? Kenya. We haven't, on these shores, talked about what's going on in Washington. Have we? And there are a lot of things that are jumping off.
Yes.
We haven't talked about what's happening locally. The city supposedly had bankruptcy proceedings. I'm sure that you've been watching the news this week. People killing each other. Carjackings. Why haven't we spent time this morning saying, let's come together and find a way to put an end to all of this? The reason this is nothing. It's an opposal to God. And everything in opposition to God, He is already taken care of. Is to focus on Him, because our hope is an eternal hope. Our life is eternal.
Yes.
Our aim is eternal. Our aspirations are eternal. Our destiny is eternal.
Yes.
And now we can sing the old hymn, my hope is built on nothing else than Jesus Christ and what? His righteousness. I dare! Can you say, I dare not?
I dare not!
I dare not!
I dare not.
Touch the sweetest frame! But wholly, completely, lean on Jesus' name. On Christ! Can you say on Christ? Can you say on Christ? The same righteous hand! Oh, my God, it's nothing. I bless you.